We live from the garden, a place where I heal, just like the letters that reads behind my back. This is Change the Vision Studio, and this episode of Peace Study is brought to you by Change the Vision. I am Church Hudson, and I do believe in change, and I do believe in vision. But see, the thing is, without vision, there cannot be any change. And without vision, our people shall perish. Peace Study is a holistic management platform that is based on the principles of Christ. We study the ways and the wills of God. And in the way and will of God, we study God's creations, and we study to see what those creations' actions and inactions get them as a result of their action or their inaction. We look at those actions and inaction to see if it's in accordance with the will and way of God. Observe our own steps to see, I can learn from someone else's mistakes and I don't have to repeat them. That's the logic. But this process is one that we study the principle and we practice the principle. That's how the word becomes flesh. It's a three-step process in my mind. It's think, speak, do. Think better, and I can assure you every episode of Principle Study, we will curate a masterful playlist of topics, ideas, and principles that get rid of that stinking thinking and allow you to see your past in a clearer, more productive and positive way, to have a better present, so your present can be a present or a gift that allows you to see a brighter future. Thinking, speaking, and doing better is that three-step process. This is season one of Peace Study, a season dedicated to observing oneself to have a better relationship with oneself so we can have a better foreign relationship with a stranger or others, better relationships with whoever we have to have, any kind of business dealings with, romantic dealings with, etc., and ultimately be able to officiate a better management system for our business and the way we exchange our talent and skill. The way that I found my way was by studying the spiritual principles of Christ, but also being able to look at my actions and my inactions to see what was lifting me up and tripping me up. It was in this process that I like to call the YRS. We have the Internal Revenue Service that audits our money and what we're doing with it so the government can get their fair share. But with the YRS, those are your real steps. You don't know what you're doing, how can you know how you can move it? You got to know the numbers to grow the numbers, is what a wise man once said. So I want to know exactly what my output is so I can know what input I need in order to go where I'm trying to go in the whole grand scheme of things. Hope that's not too confusing. But if it is, you know, you can rewind the video, and I'm not going social intelligence any further. I just want to make sure that I'm understood in the way that I'm communicating myself. Be it as it may, it is in my hope that you can study the steps of the Messiah, Yeshua ben Yosef, popularly known as Jesus Christ, because by doing so, you can see how you can let go all of the things of the world, all of the things that your senses recognize, and tap into the hereafter with the source, the creator of the worlds, and be one with that energy, be one with the God of the worlds, our Father who art in heaven. Welcome to Peace Study. I'm Church Hudson once again. And if you've been following these different episodes we've been launching every week, I know it's been a treat. I hope it's been as much as a treat to you as it's been to me, because I've been enjoying it. This is just my personal study journey, and I prepare for my study sessions. I just don't wing it, right? So I have my sticky notes. I have textbooks that I may refer to. I have journal articles, online research, nature, my own steps, as I already articulated, and my personal observation of what I'm doing and or what I'm not doing. But today I bring that up because we're going to get into the bullet points and some of the details that go into what I call P to the fourth power. P to the fourth power. In mathematics, you know, when you have powers, That means you have a repeated number multiplying itself multiple times. So we have four different principles today that all start with a P, and I love how they just so happen to fall into this letter because it just matches the brand and it allows me to just tap in that way. And I just love it for branding purposes and just for being able to articulate it. But those four P's that we're going to get into today is going to be preparation, first of all. Second, practice. Third, persistence. And fourth, patience. This is P to the fourth power, and they work collective. And I think that the results from these four equals power, equals progress, as we can kind of delve into when we go along. But first, I want to start with preparation. The introduction, I just want to make this clear, right? So, as an example, I'm using myself as an example because with this study, the best way that I can receive information, and research shows this as well, the best way to retain information is not to repeat it over and over and try to commit it to memory like you're just a robot. But the best way to retain information is actually to teach it, to immerse yourself in it, to practically translate it into a real life scenario where you can explain it to a younger person that may not have as many words in their vocabulary bank as you. So today I'm going to give you an example on the first principle, which is preparation. I'm going to show you what I did in order to tap into this principle without any other cases or mentioning any of them. Preparation. The introduction to this podcast, when I come in and I say, you know, without vision there can't be change, and without vision our people shall perish, and this platform is a holistic management platform rooted in Christ in the three-step process, and all of these different points that I make, what season one is about, all of these different things. I wrote that. That was I'm not winging it. The best, from what I observe, the best comedians, the best motivational speakers, the best lecturers, teachers, professors, scholars, actors, actresses, the best salesmen, the top of the top in their industry, they have scripted, well rehearsed, well interacted information and words to communicate, to articulate themselves in a way that captivates whoever hears them, whoever sees them. Muhammad Ali did it when he would interview, when he would give his poetic expressions before a fight. This is a part of preparation that I'm highlighting for the purposes of this particular point of the episode, so that you can see the example in theory and in practice at the same time, simultaneously, right? It's something that has been very fulfilling for me, actually, in committing what I want to convey to the world to memory, and to be able to put my entire being in it and immerse myself in it. And the reason why it's so important to me is because this information, this truth, the details of it, I have, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe this information, when one can pay attention to it and engage in it, can change their life for the better. And that's worth all of the sacrifice to me to be able to do as much as I can to relay that message in a well and persuasive and descriptive way for that person to be able to at least consider what's being articulated. For the truth shall set people free. So I think it's worth every single bit of energy that I put into it. Another thing that I want to mention about preparation are four different elements that go into preparation that people also like to kind of blur within the grand scheme of practice, but preparation and practice are a little different. So the difference between preparation and practice is the act of what you prepare for, and preparation is all of the roadmap bullet points that you set so that you can go into practice and you're not winging it, right? Four examples. Number one, preparation for practice would be, before I go into this practice, before I go into trying to become better at whatever this is, a bad habit that I want to break, a new dish I want to cook, a workout I want to try, a diet I want to try, a business idea I want to implement, plan, implement, and execute, whatever that thing is, preparation, or an example of preparation would be, when am I the most alert to be able to practice? And based on what I know about myself, let me intentionally set this time in my day so that I'm able to practice this when I'm at my best, when I'm revolving at the highest possible potential that I have within myself, when all cylinders are clicking. Let me go into whatever I want to practice during that time, during the peak. That's one example. Number two, set goals for whatever that practice may be. Write down some outcomes that you think you want to achieve within that session. Number three, when you have your goals, keep in mind, okay, I want to be able to organize my output. So one thing that I do, I have a spreadsheet. If I'm studying a topic, I have a spreadsheet that organizes the ideas that I write or the ideas that I study. So I may have a book, a journal article, a lecture. I highlight the key points of that, and I put these key points in a spreadsheet in categories. So when I go back to the spreadsheet, I can look at the different categories of the information, whether it's dealing with overcoming adversity, whether it's dealing with organizational skills, whether it's dealing with good habits, whatever the category is, I can go back and look at the library of information I study, and I can synthesize it, which means I can take information from different areas and I can put it together for different scenarios where I meet somebody that has a question that one of something that I studied may answer. I meet somebody that has, or business, let's say I have a business consultation, or I have a Zoom call with a business, I'm able to take the information that I studied and I'm able to use that to motivate my client that, guess what, I'm the guy for the job. All of these things play a real role in how well you're able to communicate, from great relationships with a potential spouse, a potential business partner, a potential career promotion, whatever it is, these things, preparation and putting these things in place so you can get the most out of your desired outcome, you can get the most out of your practice, is something that is underrated, but it makes the world of difference, I'm telling you, between the ones who are just winging it. You have people that wing it based on their talent, and then you have people who are intentionally preparing for every detail of what their performance entails. And by me implementing some of these strategies in my own personal walk, I just want to let you know it is very liberating. And the beautiful part about it is your brain is so delicate, and there are no limitations to what you can commit to memory and be able to articulate. When you don't prepare, when you leave points off the board, the question that I have to you is, what part of the show is that? Because remember, what we prepare for, we will ultimately show. We can get into it later on in this episode about what this whole thing of showing is about. But we are a walking show, just like an NBA game on TNT. When somebody's eyes lock on what you have going on, when you taking your steps and you walking, the way you look, smell, move, talk, whatever it is, you are a show. And when they look at you, that time and that setting, it comes together to create what I call an event. Let's get on to this groove on today from the Manhattans. Love Talk. This is the vinyl album. In the song, what part of the show is that? Manhattans, y'all. Groove on. Love talk. I'm sorry, not what part of the show is that, but that's not part of the show by the Manhattans. Let's enjoy this groove, y'all.
Last night I got a good reception from the people who came to see my show. They gave me a standing ovation, and they called me back. They call me back for more. I could see the smiles on their faces. I knew I must have been a big, big success. Yes, I did. A lady said, was I acting? When I fell on my knees and pretended to cry, I said, when I get to the part that says, please don't leave me, and the tears streamed down my face real slow. That's not part of the show. Dressing room was crowded with well-wishers and good old friends of mine. They said, Gerald, you ought to be so happy. Yes, you should. And I know you're very, very, very proud.
Study, man. I hope you enjoyed that groove. The next principle that I want to get into is practice. We talking about practice.
But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice?
In this part of the episode, I want you to pay special attention to the power of doing something until you have no other choice but to get it right. When you think about practice, a lot of people think about repetition, conditioning, doing something over and over again. In theory, A lot of times we take for granted the great people that dominate whatever their field is. We think Michael Jordan was born with the gift that Michael Jordan had. We think all of the LeBron, you name it. It's very easy to identify the athletics or the athletes when they achieve certain feats. It's like, because when you go out there, it's just between you and another person. And what separates it is your will and your skill. And it's obvious to see, but you can apply this to any character in any type of industry or any other field when it comes to practice. I had a hymn I wanted to learn. I walked through the garden alone. Another hymn I wanted to learn was Lift Every Voice and Sing. Some of the words used in these hymns are not the words we use on an everyday basis. So when it came time for me to actually sing while I'm playing the drums, I'm like, okay, you know, that old type of way of speaking, my mind was still trying to get used to, even though I rehearsed some of the words or the parts, I hadn't rehearsed it enough until I had no other choice but to get it right. And I think that, I know the mind, like a hard drive, it will soak information like a sponge. But this is the part that I want to hang my hat on for the purposes of really getting the most out of the theory or the principle of practice. When you're setting out to go do something, this is just something that was revealed to me when I wanted to get better and I wanted to learn certain songs. I wanted to learn my scripts. I wanted to be able to articulate myself when it was mano-a-mano. Somebody came into my presence and I'm able to give them a quick snippet of what Church Hudson and this whole experience is all about. The key takeaway, or one of the key strategies that I was able to get some grand revelation about, is cutting out the noise. We live in a noisy age where back in the 90s, not even too long ago, a lot of us were alive to experience this. There were only but so many programs that you could tune into, and it wasn't at the demand of your hand. You didn't have the television in your hand. Now we can watch hundreds of videos within an hour's time. We can listen to hundreds of different sound bites, music, whatever the case may be. But what the Most High revealed to me is, guess what? You have all these things that come to your mind that I'm giving you. Ideas, songs, different words you can use interchangeably whenever you want. Cut out the noise and rehearse your lines. Know your material. Know what I give you and know it front, back, side, and side. It's a lot that I know. I heard Kanye West say, I done forgot better songs than these thought of. I had songs in my mind that I freestyled that I forgot about that's better than the best songs that these people y'all listen to are putting out. You know how Kanye is. If you know who Kanye West is, his confidence is to the roof. But the example that I wanted to bring to light in that example is we receive the most phenomenal things on a day-to-day basis that we don't take advantage of because we are so consumed with all of these outside noises and all of these videos and all of these topics and about all of these celebrities and all of these people that don't know that we exist. They know these athletes that play on Sunday that a lot of people are raging and ranting about. They don't know you from a can of paint. They know the mosquito that bit them during practice more than they know the people who are at home smashing their TVs because they lost a little bit of gambling money or signing out of work because they don't want to go to work the next day. They're so upset that their favorite team lost or their favorite player got hurt. You know, we invest so much time and energy into other people's skills, talents, and what they use that was given to them, and not enough on ourselves. Not nowhere near as enough on ourselves. And I fell into that trap, and I have to monitor my actions and monitor what I'm letting into my ear gates, my eye gates, and I have to monitor what I say, because our words are seeds that grow, and we have to eat those things when they grow, when they harvest. I have to monitor that, because whatever I say, whatever I'm letting into my hard drive, is only taken away from what I could be learning about what God gave me. So, in short, practice? Yeah, practice is definitely something that is met after preparation. You set out what you want to get done and what you want to achieve. But when it's time to set your mind to doing something, you gotta cancel the noise out, cancel everything out. And when you cancel everything out, what you get is a tidal wave. A tidal wave of flow, of supernatural flow and abundance. And that's why on our next jam, we going to one of my favorite albums from my good man, Ronnie Laws. It's called Pressure Sensitive. And the song that we want to tap into for the purposes of the groove and the mood, you know what I'm talking about? Because I don't want to take y'all outside the scope of where we trying to go with this. We're going to Tidal Wave. Beautiful selection. Enjoy, groove on, study. Make sure you keep on keeping on, all right? Church. Once again, we are back to finish what we started and getting into this P to the fourth power. I knocked out two of them with two nice grooves to move to. But this time, I'm going to go ahead and give you a two-for-one deal. I'm going to give you the last two back-to-back. We're going to get into a nice groove to kind of put the icing on this whole cake we trying to bake so you can eat it, consume it, and be able to grow from it. You know what I'm talking about? Those last two principles are persistence and patience. Persistence and patience. Okay, so you didn't prepare for the practice. You didn't prepare for the thing you want to release to develop, and you want to make it refined. You want to refine it. You want to do a great job. On the last episode of Peace Study, we talked about the time and the sense of urgency we need to have to release the gift that God has given us, right? Can't hold it forever. Development released prematurely is not what we aim for, right? We don't want to release anything prematurely, but at some point you have to share what it is that God gave you. Don't let it expire, okay? You can overcook food. Babies can only stay in their mom butt for so long. It's all type of examples that show us that there is a time to release. However, once you release that thing, the work is it's continual. It's cyclical. It's perpetual. Refine that thing. Improve on that thing. Persistence is one of the principles that is the epitome of that refining. So you prepare and you practice one time, okay. How many times you can continue to do that though? Because small action over a long period of time will compound, and you look at the end of the year and you are 365 times better than what you were before you started to do what you set out to do. For example, the top of the year, my goal was to do 500 push-ups a week, 500 squats a week. I did that in one day because I was being consistent with my 25 here and 25 there once a day. Before I know, I'm so strong, I'm able to, the level of difficulty started to leave, and I did what I set out to do in a week in one day. And now I do 300 a day. And if I can get more, I get more. I do more. But my point is persistence, consistency. The long run, doing things for the long haul. And not just being focused on instant success, instant gratification. In a world full of microwaves and air fryers and on-demand television and all of these things that give us instant stimulation, it's sometimes hard to bring that link, that missing link of extended or long-term gratitude into play. Persistence will gradually take us somewhere that we want to go and beyond where we thought we could. So instead of what helped me in transforming into a better version of myself, it's not trying to do it all at once, but committing to a lifestyle that will take me from glory to glory to glory to glory. If you eat too much or have a bad habit, if you record or audit what you do for 1 week, the next week try to take a little bit away that you were doing. Right? So if you, let's say you want to work out and you haven't worked out in months. Week one, you realize you didn't work out at all. So for week two, you say, you know what? I just want to show up at the gym. I just want to show up. I just want to put my workout clothes on and put myself in the position to do some form of exercise. To show up so that my actions reminds my subconscious mind that Something is shifting. Something is changing. And just being consistent. It was a story where this person lost 100 and something pounds. And the beginning of that transformation literally started with them just showing up at the gym, not working out at all, but just showing up. And it gave them confidence. So it gave them confidence because before they weren't even showing up. But when they showed up, it gave their mind, you know what? I'm consistent at something. I've included this in my routine. And now my route, my trajectory is taking me somewhere where I think I can actually go versus me not doing it at all. So persistence is definitely, that's how you're going to get it. Nothing happens overnight. And when I can't wait to get into the case section of today's episode. But before I do, I want to break down the last principle of this episode, which is patience. The ability to withstand delay or denial without getting so easily flustered, without getting so easily angered that you don't want to do it anymore. I gotta raise my hand like a kid in class because I gotta give you an example of that. In this studio, right now, this particular moment, it's hot, okay? It is hot in here. I've been playing on and off with the AC unit, trying to get some ventilation in. I done took breaks. I done went to NMark twice to get drinks. I done sat in my Jeep to turn on my AC. I'm in the master's program right now. Let me give you an example of this right now, of patience, persistence, practice, and preparation all in one. But just patience specifically for this example. I'm in the master's program and we have to turn in a module. We have to turn in a quiz that we submit to our professor, and we have to turn in a reading assignment in a module. While I'm studying in here, it gets so hot. The back of my neck is sweating. You know how the back of your neck sweating and you feel the damp sweat sinking into your shirt, and you try to lift your shirt up to create this little fan from snatching the material and waving it back and forth. That's what was going down, okay? And so my level of discomfort was rising, okay? So I said, all right, I have to get this work done. I got in my Jeep, went to the court, the basketball court outside at the park, reading, sitting on the bench, listening to the young Bulls cuss each other out while they lay the ball up on each other. It was a nice ambient noise around me of the culture that I could immerse myself in while I studied these principles and theories that was going to further my career as an educator. I loved it. But it started to rain. So I'm like, okay, now I got to leave this level of comfort, get back in the Jeep, went over the material some more, and I went back to the studio. Okay, it still was hot. Okay, still hot. Still had to record tonight's episode. And even just for even more insight on what's going on, I recorded this episode yesterday, but I felt like I left some points on the board. So I said, I'm gonna redo this episode. I'm gonna position my camera better. I'm gonna make it better, you know. So patience, right? Patience. This is persistence. This is preparation. This is practice. This is patience on display. I'm giving you my own steps because this is about, it's just an example. Take it how you want to take it. But I had to, it's not convenient for me to have to leave the studio. I'm paying all this money to have a place where I can dedicate my work or dedicate my time to my work and commit to my work. I had to leave because of this petty annoyance. You're right, this petty inconvenience. Patience. I'm not going to allow that to take away from what needs to be done. Okay? It comes with it. I had to sit in AT&T for 2 hours, 3 hours. Took away from my study time. So when I could have knocked out my study time, I'm doing it later on in the day. It's just so much. It's so many examples I can give you. But in a nutshell, the ability to withstand delay and denial and petty annoyances without getting flustered, without getting easily angered, and still being able to tap in and wrap in into what it is that you're trying to achieve, that is ultimately, beyond patience, beyond persistence, that is love. And God is love. And that's why on this next groove, you know, we're going to get into my soul brother number one, Marvin Gaye. You feel me? Live at the Montreux. I could be pronouncing that wrong. Don't kill the messenger, okay? Just be better than me if I am. But, oh, live at the London Palladium. Okay, that's something that I think I can pronounce the right way. And the song is God is Love. Hope you enjoy this groove. We're going to get back to my favorite part of every peace study episode, which is the cases from which these principles stem from that I chose to go into depth on a practical level, what I learned theoretically and through principles.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, can you put a light on McKinley, Joe? Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. McKinley Jackson. Give him a big round of applause. He's back with us. We love him. He's working good. I'm going to change your mood just a bit here now, because while I change your mood, I have to sort of change my mood, chameleonize myself. That's a crazy word, chameleonize. But I hope you don't go and talk about my father. God is my friend. He made this world for us to live in, and he gave us everything. We give each other love. Don't go and talk about my father. God is my friend. When we call on him for mercy, he will be merciful, my friend. And do you believe all he has of us? Is we give each other love. Thank you.
With my favorite part of every peace study episode, which is the law and the order of where our principles derive from, where they come from. All right. Starting with preparation, transitioning into practice, persistence, and patience. We're going to start with preparation. So the case, I looked at a couple cases for preparation. All right. The couple sources that allowed me to weave together or sew together some different elements to make one nice piece of clothing that I clothe my mind with, okay? The first example of preparation that came to my mind was the Super Bowl. The second case that came to my mind with preparation came from a book from Benjamin Franklin, The Way to Wealth. It's a quote from that book. And the third case that I analyze when it comes to preparation is the Mamba mentality from Kobe Bryant, one of the best NBA basketball players that ever played the game of basketball. Okay, so starting with the Super Bowl. And I want you to think about this, right? We have 365 days in a year. We know somewhat what we're going to do annually. Birthdays, holidays, work days. There are certain days we can anticipate what we're going to do. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because the Super Bowl is prepared for a year in advance. Okay? When I ask friends, family, different people who I meet, when I ask them, are you living in your purpose? Are you working in your purpose? Is there anything you would like to improve on? Is there anything that you would like to transform in your life? And of course, I get a lot of feedback saying, yes, there are some things I want to change. There are some things I want to do. There are some things I want to achieve. But the common denominator that I'm seeing across the board, family, friends, strangers, loved ones, whoever, they always say, I just have to find the time. Or, I don't have the time. But when you ask them, well, how much time do you have? They can't answer that because they haven't accounted for the time that they have. In my personal experience with people who I ask this, why don't you know your time? Why don't you know your time? You're not working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you have time, but you have to quantify. You have to look at your time ahead of time. And the Super Bowl is a great example because the same people who I'm talking about, when it's time for their birthday, you know what you're doing for your birthday. You have your whole day ironed out. You know exactly what you're wearing, where you're going, how you're doing it, what you're doing. Why not treat your normal day-to-day basis like that too? Why not be prepared for your week a week in advance? Why not be prepared? Why not have some things outlined and itemized about your day in advance? So guess what? When that day comes, when that day arrives, you're not winging it. You have goals you set out. You're putting yourself in the best position to get better at the things you set out to do because you're doing it at the times of the day when you're the most alert. You're making sure your diet is in check. You're making sure different things that you need to take care of is managed and managed well. Because you are preparing for your day like it is a grand showcase. And it is a grand showcase. I said I was going to bring this back up in the beginning of today's episode. But when somebody lay their eyes on you, guess what? You are showing them something. It's no smaller than the Super Bowl. I want you to think about your everyday example and how you move, walk, groove, and how you do what you do, when you do it, how you do it. I want you to picture it as if it's the greatest event. How would you treat your tomorrow? How would you treat your today if you prepare for it like it's the greatest event? If you meet a life-changing person that could take you from where you are to where you want to go, how would you break the wall of uncertainty into a world of abundance for the person that lay their eyes on you or lend their ear to you? This has to be a part of the representation for this conversation, for the sake of this conversation. Being made in the image of God, being in God's likeness, what is it that God really can't do? So if we are in the image and the likeness, what is the limitations of what we can actually do? And we are greatness on display. The G-O-D, that's what it means to me. We are greatness on display. So when I think of the Super Bowl, I think about that greatness on display, prepared for and taking care of all of the things that go into that showcase, that event. We have to treat our time on this planet with the purpose that God gave us with a sense of urgency and attention to detail and care as if it was the Super Bowl. Which takes me to my next source, my next case from the way to Wealth by Benjamin Franklin. It's a quote that Benjamin Franklin wrote in this book. The book is very small. I wish I had it on me. The book is very small. You can read it in 30, 45 minutes. Great book. Small, but big, if you understand what I mean by that. But it said, don't put off today what you can... Don't put off for tomorrow what you can handle today, is what the quote. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what the quote say. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. That's a principle of preparation. Why would I let today leak into tomorrow and take time away from what I could be doing in the present time the next day? For example, if I know I gotta iron my clothes, this is a small example that has bigger implications than what it is, okay? If I know I have to iron my clothes, and I know I'm going to work 5 days straight, and I have to have my clothes pressed, okay? Why would I go to bed with nothing ironed for the next day? Why would I do that? Now, when tomorrow comes, the time I could have been using to better myself, to contribute to the end goal, to transforming my life for myself and my neighbor so that I can really seek the kingdom of God, now I have to use that same time doing what I could have done yesterday. Trash full. I'm going to sleep with a full trash can, knowing I got to take the trash out to, guess what, dump waste and do what I need to do. Taking time away. And these are small instances, but they have bigger implications. And it shows or exposes, excuse me, it exposes your room for improvement when it comes to management. This whole thing is all about management when it comes to peace study and life in general. This is management 101. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. That's the whole principle of preparedness and being prepared, which takes me into the example of Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was a strategic mastermind in doing as much as he could, whenever he could, and doing as much as he could possibly do when it came to training with that basketball, training for the game. In the interview he quoted, I knew I had practice after school, but I wanted to get an extra practice in. So I would wake up at 5 before school started at 7:45, and I would play basketball with the janitor that opened up the school or my coach that opened up the school. And I prepared this time or this event, and I coordinated this with the right people so I could practice twice a day instead of once a day. And give extra time in to the craft at hand, being obsessed with transforming my skills from one level to the next level. Preparation, y'all. When opportunity meets preparation and practice, guess what? The probability of you actually reaching achievement, it increases based on how much you're able to prepare and how accurate you're able to pinpoint the things that will make you better in your preparedness, in your practice. Your probabilities of achievement increases. And that's the whole point. And those are the things that I learned from these few cases of preparedness. Which brings me to the next principle. Practice. I want you to turn your attention now to a scripture that I read. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, to sum it up for you, without getting into the weeds of it, the chapter is explaining how Paul is letting Timothy know how to take care of the gift that God gave him, and how the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ depended on his obedience to his gift, because people were not abiding by the gospel that was coming forth. They were going into other practices that was more so focused on diet and myths and things that didn't have nothing to do with the revolutionary power of Christ. So this was the reason for the season that Paul was explaining to Timothy. But then this is the part that I want you to really look into, and this is going to cover practice and persistence. Paul told Timothy, "Yo, not only do you not need to neglect your gift, but you need to meditate on your gift, and you need to fully immerse yourself in your gift until it becomes so evident that when someone else see you, they know that you are a masterful showmanship of what this gospel is all about. What you do in the dark when nobody else is looking is going to reveal itself in the light when all eyes are on you. When you in that grind, there are not too many. I heard a wise man say, when you flying in the air, there isn't much resistance. But when you grinding in the dirt, you have to push through that. And what you doing behind closed door, pushing through all of the different external restrictions and resistance variables that's there to strengthen you, when it's time for others to see how you are able to flow, it's going to be evident. It's going to show. And that's what he was telling Timothy. And it's like, you can read these words. I read these words, but really think about what it is that you are good at. Can you imagine meditating on this? Canceling out Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube. All these things. Meditating on the things that's going to take you to the next level in what you do. Meditating on it. Fully immersing yourself in what you do. Conviction is what others should feel when you share with them what you've been working on, sharpening your skill and your craft. Everything I'm talking about right now tonight, I read over it, I wrote it, but I'm not looking at any script. I'm looking dead in this lens. I'm looking dead in this lens, and I plan to get better right in front of you. The production, everything in real time, I plan to get better right before your eyes so that you can see the medicine that I'm grabbing from the cabinet to give you. I've already chewed on one of the pills before I handed it to you. I want to show you the proof in the pudding. And like Paul told Timothy, it becomes evident when you put yourself through this training. When you are persistent and you're practicing in that persistence. This is a culmination of all of the P's. P to the fourth power. And I want to use another case to highlight the patience part, because you're going to have to be patient when you're refining yourself, because you're going to be denied the goal that you wanted sometimes. You're going to be delayed with the expediency of what you want sometimes. You may not be able to get it in 2 attempts. It may take you 200 attempts. But whatever it takes, do it, because the next time it's not going to be as difficult. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. The walls break down after a while. And I have a praise report. I feel the AC. Whew. Anyway, last case that I want to get into when it comes to patience, and where I found a nice example from the principle that was lived and exampled by this person, is Nipsey Hussle when it comes to patience, y'all. Okay? Now, for those of you who don't know Nipsey Hussle, Nipsey Hussle was somebody that had East African heritage, but grew up in the ghettos of Crenshaw, L.A., was a Crip gang affiliate, was a rapper, a serial entrepreneur who learned how to vertically integrate his own business, sell millions of records, take his talent and his ideas literally from basement style studio, fully funded from him, to the Grammys, to the highest peak of what music has to offer in the industry. But those are just the tips of the iceberg. The real takeaway from Nipsey Hussle, the name of his label was All Money In, but his motto was, it's a marathon. The marathon continues. Marathons, in the correlation it have with patience, patience is nothing but a marathon. Because as much as you want to go somewhere and as much as you want to achieve, You don't know when your time is going to come, where all your dedication and all your preparation meets that opportunity that changes your situation and puts you in a state of elevation. You don't know when that time is going to come. You anticipate it because you walk in faith and not by sight. You live in hope and not by the status of what may appear to be going on. You see beyond what your eyes can see because you have vision, right? The marathon is all about, you don't know when that's time, but in the meantime and in between times, all of your resources are going to I'm all in, all money in. I'm pushing all of the chips this way. I'm gonna give God what God is due. Like, I'm gonna pay my tithe offering. I had a whole nother episode about that and the power of nakedness 1 and 2. If you hadn't checked that out, I would go back and check that out too. But I'll just give you a little snippet on the power of nakedness. I had a dream that I was naked, but the church where I grew up was packed and people were being impacted, but I was embarrassed because I was naked. Of course I ran and I put clothes on, but when I woke up confused about the dream, well, God told me to go to Nehemiah. I believe it was Nehemiah chapter 6. It could be the chapter 6 or 8. When I went to Nehemiah, the first verse said, on the 24th day of that month. I looked at my calendar. It was March 24th. I said, wow, this got to be God communicating to me. In a nutshell, the verse went on to articulate how God gave Nehemiah the word to tell his ancestors, to tell the people to repent for the shortcomings of their ancestors, okay? And basically the entire chapter goes through the going around in circle perpetual habit of the people being brought from glory and disobedience to going back to their old ways, worshiping other gods, stepping outside of the pocket of the law that was given unto the people to adhere to. Then God gave me Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. I'm hearing a voice come to my conscience. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. I go to Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Mind you, I don't really know the encyclopedic. I'm not encyclopedic with the word to know all the scriptures in this way. So this is new. Everything I'm telling you is coming to me on the fly in new revelation, okay? And I was fasting during the time. I get Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. In this verse, it explains, will a man rob God? The man say, how can I rob God? The response was, by not paying your tithe and offering. And I thought about the two scriptures that God gave me, from repentance, from shortcomings, and the perpetual disobedience of the people, not abiding by the law. And then the other side of the coin with Malachi 3 and 8, with tithe, with giving that tenth, right? I need like 10, like the Rich Homie Quan song. I need like 10, the power of the 10, which is another episode that I will check out when I get a chance. But the power in this experience for me, getting these scriptures, was when I was able to go back to my basic calculations and what I was earning. And when I broke down and crunched my numbers and giving my tithe and giving back and doing what I needed to do with my finances, guess what, y'all? I only had enough for a haircut and something to eat. But I said, I surrender, Lord. I'm going to get naked. I'm going to take off my holding on to that money. I'm going to get naked. I'm going to take all it off. I'm going to take it off. Because God can't put new clothes on your body when you got your old clothes on. You're going to have to take this off. Right? I kid you not. Once I did that, money came out of nowhere. Getting free things, more money, more income, more opportunities. And I was able to just grow. And I gave thousands of dollars since that time in tithe. And I feel so excited to give you that revelation, because I'm telling you, there is power there is absolute power in putting all of it in, all money in, put it in to your purpose, put it into the wills and the way of God. And God told me to get used to living on the least of your means, because as a husband to be, as a father to be, as a business leader to be, you gonna pay everybody and you gonna pay yourself last. I don't have the book with me right now, but I bought a book and it's called Leaders Eat Last. I bought it. I ran across it on social media and I knew it was right on term, because God gave me this word before I even knew about this book. It's that you're gonna have to eat last. People like Tyler Perry, billionaires, people who run large operations, they have to take care of their overhead and budgets. They have to pay people. A lot of people try to make it on the top and everybody their ladder. No. God showed me you're gonna have to pay people. So you can't be spending the budget and holding on to the budget. You're gonna have to delegate and you're gonna have to put these things where they need to go. So these are the cases from which my principles stem from. And I hope that you're able to take what your prior experience, your current experience, what I just shared with you, plus some other things that you're going to be able to study. I want you to put it all together. And I want you to be able to take it from glory to glory to glory. In all ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge God in all of your ways and seek ye first the kingdom. And it is in my prayers that you get those four P's to produce to the fourth power. I know it's in you. Like always, 86% of millionaires are married, and I want you all to be married. But management is the key in marriage. Management is the key in every healthy relationship, in every organization. 98% of all wealthy people own real estate. I advocate land ownership. I speak land ownership over your life. If you're watching this, real estate ownership, you will have a real estate portfolio. I don't care if you come from a household that was raised and you were raised in apartments or section. I don't care. You will have properties. Declare it with me. Your words are seeds. 98% of all wealthy people own real estate. And that skill that you have, that talent, you know what? It's just not there by random choice or happenstance. You are to sharpen that skill and deliver it to your neighbor. You see a man skilled in his labor, he shall stand before kings and queens. Not before obscure men, not before poor people, but be weary for what the king holds. Because if you are given for an appetite of these fancy things and these designer things, you might as well hold a knife to your own throat. This is the Proverbs of the law. You might as well hold a knife to your own throat. So don't be thirsty. Know that you are worthy of all of your work, because it came from the Most High. And you are in the image of the Most High. So make sure you do what you need to do in this whole grand scheme of things. And be a great brother, be a great sister. For brotherhood or sisterhood in Hebrew means nurse and fireplace. A nurse promotes the full welfare of another, and a fireplace provides food that needs to be cooked, and it provides warmth in harsh conditions. So imagine what that is. Personify yourself in those categories of warmth, feeding, and promoting the full welfare of somebody else. This is how we should be, in loving God with everything we have and loving our neighbor as thyself. Again, it is in my hope that you follow the steps of Yeshua ben Yosef, popularly known as Jesus Christ, to be one with God, so that you are in God, God is in you, and when whoever see you, they see God. Okay? As for me and my house, we shall and we will serve the Lord. Church, y'all. Love, peace. Have a great one, man. Let's get it.